This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
I'm in a mood. I'm in a very bad mood, and I need the two of you to try to take me out of the bad mood I'm in. But before we do that, and you attempt to help me with that, we say good morning to Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave. I know you're in a mood, but we're going to try to talk you off the ledge. But I'm doing well over here. Two minds about my quarterback for the New York Giants, but I'm sure we'll get into that.
We certainly will, and I know that he was upset with the Giants because they played well enough to cover the number last night, and that is the talented Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. Listen, it's okay, buddy. We'll get you through it.
I know you will. I know you will.
A lot of positives last night. I told you yesterday. This Giant team competes, man.
They do compete.
You got a good head coach. I mean, the biggest problem with last night's game was everything was good. Like, everything. The coaching was good. The play calling was good. I think the offensive line had a good game.
Very good.
And the biggest problem was, I mean, the reason why you lost that game was because of Daniel Jones.
Yes. He lost the game. Chris, the Giants, in my mind, and you can disagree, and that's fine. We'll have conversation, 800-919-3776, were the better football team last night. The Giants were the better football team last night. Daniel Jones, like Rick said, and I completely agree, lost them that football game.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, there's really no way around it when Bruce Arians comes out and says, yeah, that's probably why we won the game, the turnovers from Daniel Jones. It's hard to attribute that Giants loss to anything else. I mean, I thought the defense played well. They flew around, man. Those guys were making plays. It started out with Blake Martinez punching out that ball from Rojo on the checkdown, and that set the Giants up for their first touchdown, which was a dime from Daniel Jones to Deion Lewis. But, I mean, you name it, guys contributed, man. James Bradbury had a huge PBU down the field when he was beat by one of the receivers from the Buccaneers. I mean, Leonard Williams showed up in the pass rush. You know, you had guys being able to get pressure on the quarterback. Carter Coughlin got a sack yesterday. Isaac Yiadom had a huge PBU late in the second half. So, I mean, there were plays that were being made by that defense, and they kept giving their offense opportunities to be in that game. I thought one of the biggest plays of that game was the defense holding Tampa Bay to that field goal in the fourth quarter. It was a 3rd-and-1 at the 20-yard line. So you're talking about a red zone opportunity. And the Bucs are one of the best red zone teams in the National Football League as far as scoring touchdowns. And your defense was able to come up with a huge stop thanks to Dalvin Tomlinson and Jabril Peppers. You kept it at a one possession game, and you got your offense a chance. And Daniel Jones, you know, he got the ball back with 3.5 minutes left and drove the team down the field methodically and ended up throwing a dime to Golden Tate for the touchdown. Now, the 2-point conversion, he's got to put it on Deion Lewis a lot quicker. I mean, that is a pick concept. You're using the bunch to pick the guy that's in man coverage on Deion Lewis. As soon as he gets the shotgun snap, he's got to be throwing that ball to Deion Lewis right now. He can't wait in order to give the defender time to recover. You can argue whether it's pass interference or not. I don't want to get into that. I don't think the refs decided that game. I think the game was decided in the 2 second-half turnovers by your quarterback.
I agree with you. I completely agree, and I'm not going to blame the officials, but that's pass interference. By letter of the law, that's pass interference. And you threw a flag for pass interference. And I don't want to spend the next 2 hours debating whether it was or wasn't, because I agree. And I don't want to be, you know, the guy that's blaming the officiating. But you threw the flag, so you saw pass interference. You watch it again. You slow it down. He still hits him early. It's pass interference. Rick, do you agree with that? That was pass interference last night?
It was close.
I don't agree with that.
The fact that the ball hit his arm. The fact that the ball hit his arm and never – I mean, had that ball hit – Deion Lewis in the chest, you could make the argument that he got there a little bit too early, but it should never come to that.
You're right.
I mean, you say what you want. I mean, was it so close that you maybe should have just erred on the side of the flag was thrown, so we'll keep the penalty in play? I could agree with that. But, I mean, that play was executed perfectly except for the throw.
Threw it late. Way late.
Threw it late.
Yep. And he cost you a lot last night. I mean, how many? Forget about the interceptions, which were awful. I mean, really, absolutely awful. He must have missed Darius Slayton, what, 3, 4, 5 times on plays down the field where he was open, and he missed him. And it looked like a couple times Slayton didn't pick up the ball, or I don't know. All I know is that in my mind, I think a lot of Giants fans feel the same way. You lost the game because the quarterback did not play well, missed a ton of passes, missed Slayton a ton, and then either A, refused to throw the football away, or B, just made boneheaded decisions. But here's my question, guys. You're 1-7. This is a year and a half into the regime of Daniel Jones, And I'll ask you, do you really know if he's the franchise quarterback? And I think most people today would call us and say, we have no idea. And that, to me, worries me.
Yeah, it should worry you. I mean, you can't give a definitive answer in the affirmative just because the kid turns the ball over way too much. Dave, he's got a 9-game streak of at least one turnover. 9 games straight. And he's got as many interceptions on the season. He's got 36 total turnovers in 21 games. How can you say that he's your franchise quarterback for sure? You can't make that statement. So, I mean, until the kid actually stops turning the football over, you're still going to be on the fence on him, because no matter how many good things that he does, how many flashes of brilliance you see, no quarterback is worth the rate of turnovers that you're seeing from Daniel Jones, Dave. No quarterback. You can't win like that.
But Chris, isn't that the difference between – I mean, when you get to this level, everyone has talent. But the difference between a guy who's your franchise quarterback and a guy who's just a solid backup is it comes down ultimately to consistency.
Yes.
Like, inconsistent quarterbacks end up being backup quarterbacks. And right
he's not inconsistent with turning the football over.
No, he's consistent.
Very consistent.
Right on time, every week.
Yeah, but Dave, I think the biggest problem for you now is, because I think we all like Joe Judge, is Daniel Jones is putting him in a tough spot. Because right now, if he continues to be the reason why you lose these games, when everyone else, all sides of the ball, gave you enough to win that game, he's going to start jeopardizing your coach's credibility. Like, you can't have this, I mean, everyone's going to be treated the same. You know, everyone's going to be held to the same standard, no matter where you're drafted or whatever it is, whatever else that is. And Daniel Jones consistently does this and costs you games.
How can you bench? And I don't disagree with you, but how can you? You have eight. This is an 8-game audition,
yeah.
Right? Like, we need to have an answer at the end of the next 8 games, whether he's the quarterback or not. You're going to now bench him for a game or two to take away one or two games of audition for him for the rest of the season?
I think he's put him in a tough spot. I'm not saying that's what he does, but that you're putting the coaching staff in a tough spot.
You got to explain to your team
that worked their ass off and outplay the Tampa Bay Buccaneers why this guy consistently is the quarterback when he's costing you wins.
You're right about that, Rick, but you also got to take a look around and see who else is in that quarterback room and if the team has any confidence that those guys would be a better option. And right now, I would say the Giants don't have somebody in that room. But if Daniel Jones continues to turn the ball over these next 8 games at the rate that he did in the first half of the season, then it's not off the table that the Giants would probably have to find another option at the quarterback position, even if it's just bringing in somebody to compete with Daniel Jones going into 2021. Because you're right, the coach's messaging has to have some teeth. And if your quarterback continues to make these types of mistakes that cost you games, and clearly that was the case last night, then I don't see any choice for Joe Judge and whoever the next Giants general manager is that they're going to have to move off of Daniel Jones. I don't think you have a choice at that point. Because you're right. If the coach is saying we got to be accountable to one another, offense, defense, special teams, all three phases, even the play callers, the coordinators, have to be accountable to everybody in the organization, then your quarterback has to do the same. He's not above that, even though we recognize he's the most important player on the team. And so, yeah, it could undermine what Joe Judge is trying to build from an infrastructure standpoint. But I think he's got some time just based on where the Giants are at right now, because it still feels like this team is playing with a lot of energy. They're competing. I mean,
they played great last night.
You're getting unlikely contributions from a lot of young players, which I think is a good sign, because some of those guys are starting to figure out and find ways to contribute to this team. And that's all got to be attributed to the head coach and the job that he's doing. But again, you can't have this fly in the ointment of Daniel Jones continuing to turn the ball over at the rate that he is.
And that's the thing that's so frustrating to me, is they played a great football game. I thought the defense was outstanding. We have sat here and complained about Andrew Thomas and the offensive line. Thomas was almost non-existent last night, which is always
But you know why, though, Dave? It wasn't just Andrew Thomas and Shane Lemieux playing really well. It was Jason Garrett calling a hell of a game. I mean, I thought he did a great job with some of those little half rolls. You know, they mixed in the hard count to keep the defense off balance. When you start talking about an aggressive defense, throwing a little hard count, that way it gives them trouble timing up their pressures, letting guys on the defensive front get a jump on the ball, and then moving the launch point for Daniel Jones so they couldn't zero in on exactly where he was going to be at. Like, I thought those were all things that help a shaky offensive line. Some of the misdirection, the throwbacks that we saw, like Golden Tate had the throwback early on. Yep. I think we saw another one where DJ rolled out in the second half and then threw it back across the field to Sterling Shepard. So all of those things help a shaky offensive line, and it mitigated, you know, not having everybody up there that you're used to seeing in the starting lineup, not having Will Hernandez. That I thought that helped a whole lot. So if that offensive line can continue to go out there and just not be an albatross like we saw the game before in Philadelphia on a Thursday night, then this offense has a chance to consistently move the ball, man. There were a lot of really good drives in that game that the Giants put together on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know where this offense has been, but I was loving it last night, save the turnovers that we saw from Daniel Jones.
Yeah, the offense played well. They moved the football, but that's the common theme. Guys, it's a year and a half in, and it's the same conversation. And last night it wasn't fumbles because he didn't have a ton of pressure, but he turned the ball over in two huge, huge spots, and it happens every single game. Every game. And the question has to be, how much more of it are you going to be able to accept? And at what point do you know whether or not he's going to be the quarterback of the future? I think that's what the second half of the season is going to determine. Because sadly, I'm watching the game last night, Rick, and because I'm such an addict, I'm like, you know, if we win this game, which they should have, and we're 2-6, and now it's Washington and Philadelphia, we can still win this division. That is over. We can't have that conversation anymore. But the one thing we need to find for the final eight games of the season is, what is this kid moving forward? And the answer is, for me, I don't have the answer right now.
No, but the one reason I mentioned it too, because I think that's for me watching this team and how they compete. I think the most important thing for this team moving forward, because it's been so bad, and you've had, you know, a lack of stability with the head coach. McAdoo wasn't good. Shermer wasn't good. We like what we see so far from Joe Judge.
We
love it. I actually, what I really liked last night too was I absolutely hated how the Giants were defending at the end of the first half, how soft they were playing.
And he took a timeout.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And then it pulled him to a field goal. But I'm the reason why I even suggest, you know, having to make a decision like whether you're going to continue to roll Daniel Jones out there, because it goes against the messaging you're giving to your team, is because sometimes even by having if Colt McCoy play the game, you can get some answers as to how good you think Daniel Jones is. Like, I think the Cowboys right now are a perfect example of that. Like, how good is Dak Prescott? Well, you see what that Cowboys team looks like without Dak Prescott?
Right.
So maybe, you know what I mean, it'll give you the opportunity, like, what does a guy like Colt McCoy look like with his offense? Is it as good? Is it worse? Let him think about it for a second. It's actually funny. The more time Daniel Jones has, the more likely he is to make a mistake.
Yeah, they showed the stat last night where he was better when he threw the ball and got rid of it quicker.
He has that like hesitation. When you hesitate, it's too late, and then all of a sudden he ends up making a bonehead play. Like that, the throw, that's inexcusable to start the second half with that throw.
Terrible.
Especially because you had an unbelievable kick return from Deion Lewis.
You had the 45-yard line and you give the ball away. I mean, really, I said it and I mean it. The Giants were the better team last night. We talked about it for the last couple weeks that Tampa's the best team in football. Last night the Giants were better than what a lot of people have said is the best team in football.
And, yeah, and that's thanks in part to Patrick Graham calling a hell of a game defensively,
he was great.
Like mixing up the coverages. I mean, there were a lot of two-shell looks, but I mean, it was two with man coverage underneath, then it was two with some zone. He threw in some zone pressures. I mean, he chopped up the front but didn't add any additional rushes. So you saw the Giants create pressure with three- and four-man rushes, which is something that we didn't think was possible coming into this season just based on the personnel. But, I mean – Patrick Graham kept Tom Brady off balance with everything that he was showing him. There was a lot of different looks. And, yeah, Tampa Bay was able to put together some drives here and there. But in terms of, you know, how they played overall, I like what the Giants defense did. And beyond that, being able to create some takeaways and give your offense a chance to get jump-started at point-blank range early in that game. Think about what that does for the confidence of your team going up against what everybody is saying is one of the best teams in the NFL and certainly one of the best teams in the NFC. So, I mean, all of those things, you know, you feel good about. Again, it's – listen, I think that you got a head coach in Joe Judge. You got a head coach and you got a really good coaching staff. It's just a matter of now being able to add talent to the roster, and the biggest question mark is the quarterback. Other than that, I like the direction of that everything else is going in.
I agree. I don't know how you couldn't agree. I mean, defensively, I thought they played great. We laugh and make fun of Leonard Williams. He was terrific last night. We laugh and make fun of Evan Engram. I thought he played really well last night. Shepard came back and played well. The offensive line was much improved. They're heading in the right direction. But this entire season is now based on what the heck is going on with the quarterback? And that's the biggest question, and that's the one answer that we don't have right now. Right? You like the defense. You like the direction. You like the coaching staff. You like what Graham has done. You like Joe Judge. You like all these things. But the one question we don't have answered, we need to have answered, is what is this quarterback? And the more you watch him play, the more questions you have around him.
Yeah, Dave, but he has some great plays, though.
That's frustrating.
All of the boneheaded plays that he has, he had some great plays. Like that ball he threw to Deion Lewis.
Beautiful,
on that swing route.
Beautiful.
That's I mean, that's a hard throw to make. Also, the one that he made to Evan Engram in the third quarter. At the end of the third quarter, that tight end fade route that went for 30, like, that's a great throw.
That he catches, huh?
Just think of how crazy you'd be today, though. Like, I mean, as bad as you feel now, imagine if Lavonte David didn't have hands like Canty. Because on that final drive, I mean, that should have been intercepted.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Slayton actually bails him out, too, on that fourth down. He starts rolling backwards. He starts going backwards.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing.
He just heaves it up. And Slayton made a great play. Listen, Slayton is legitimate.
He's a
good football player.
He really is.
Yeah.
He really is.
I don't know why.
Think about how the game would have been different, too, if Daniel Jones doesn't come off of Slayton early in the second half.
What are you doing?
And he just stays with that read a little bit longer.
He's wide open.
Because they busted that coverage.
Twice on both interceptions. On both interceptions.
Yeah. So.
I mean, he was eating Jimmy Dean's lunch last night. Every time in man, he was winning.
He was.
Every single time.
And when they went to him, he missed him. He was wide open a couple times. They went to him, and the throws weren't close.
Yeah, there was one he overthrew Sterling Shepard as well. I mean, there were some overthrows from Daniel, man. There's nothing that you can do to defend those, and there's nothing that you can defend the turnovers. Like, that has to change. And until that changes, the Giants, in terms of being able to consistently win football games, is not going to change. It's just not. Now, here's the thing. Coming into this season, we said, okay, the two questions that you wanted to have answered was, is Joe Judge a good head coach?
And we all agree.
And is Daniel Jones your future at the quarterback position?
And we have no idea.
And we have no idea. But if you don't have an answer at the end of this year, then the Giants are going to have to address that position. I'm not saying that they should use their first-round pick on it, but I'm just saying it wouldn't be off the table. Like, they're going to have to do something to address the quarterback position if Daniel keeps turning the ball over the way that he is. Dave, since the start of last season, Daniel has 12 multi-turnover games.
That's
the most of any quarterback in pro football. The most.
It's completely unacceptable. Let's take a listen. Here's Daniel Jones, and I think this is a good question. Do you feel like you cost the team the game tonight? Here he is.
Yeah, I think those were costly mistakes for us, and you know, something, you know, I have to continue to work on and improve, and you know, I understand that.
I mean, it's unacceptable at this.
Well,
point.
You lost by 2 points, and you lost. I mean, the Bucs scored 10 points off of your turnovers, and you scored 7. There's your 3 points.
Yeah,
and I'm going to need Ronald Jones to stop trying to catch go into a full butterfly to make catches. I'm going to need to stop that.
He's got hands like feet. He's terrible.
I'm going to need him to stop that.
Really. It's, you know, I don't know if you realize, after that fumble, they took him out of the game for the rest of the half.
Yeah, he didn't play the rest of the half.
No. He's done this before. He cannot catch the football.
Leonard Fournette will be the guy moving
forward. Yeah, it seems like it's trending in that direction.
Yeah.
That team misses Chris Godwin, though, too, on the field.
Terribly. Terribly.
That offense.
Some guy,
him.
Mickens, is
catching. Well, they got reinforcements on the way.
Oh, yeah, you're not kidding.
They got reinforcements
by the way,
on the way.
By the way, too, a couple calls that I had. The refereeing hasn't been
bad.
Great.
It's really bad.
Okay. Was I the only one that thought that first Bradbury PI on Mickens? Whatever happened? Like, if the ball, like, what happened to the pass is not a catchable pass? Like, that ball was
That's
out of the back
the
of the
end zone.
Yeah, it's out of the back of the end zone. Mickens wasn't going to catch it anyway.
But I guess you're saying he
I don't know.
Him.
That one was close to me.
I actually thought the next one was bad. The one later in the game down the right sideline.
Yeah, I didn't think that was great either. And then the penalty on Yotam was ridiculous. That 15-yard penalty?
Yeah, that was aggressive.
I mean, he actually, like, he's bracing to get hit from Brate. Brate lowers his level, lowers his helmet as a, I mean, that should have been.
Well, they said on the broadcast, what is he supposed to do?
Yeah, but Rick, we can say that all the time. The refs have made it clear they're going to make that call every single time. Like, the onus is going to be on the defense no matter what the offense does.
Yeah, I don't like
so
that
you
call
can say he lowers his level, it doesn't matter. It's the defense. They're the ones that are going to be held responsible for it.
It's frustrating. It's another one of these Monday, Tuesday mornings where it's like, oh, they played so well, and they just came up a little bit short.
Yeah, but at a certain point.
That short.
Yeah, but Dave, at a certain point, I mean, you played, it's actually fitting that you played Tampa. I mean, you're saying that Daniel Jones has all these flashes and everything else. So did Jameis Winston. I mean, Jameis Winston.
Are you trying to make me feel better?
No, I'm just. Yeah, I mean, you kid, what do we have here? Well, I mean, it hasn't stopped. This is almost every single game he turns the football over.
Yeah, no, I'm upset about it. I'm not defending it.
But I think you're getting closer and closer to your answer. Like, you keep asking, do we have a franchise quarterback? Like, he's now surpassed Jameis Winston for turnovers. Like, and Jameis Winston, he flashed a lot. He threw for 5,000 yards.
Yeah, I mean, like,
you can't win
when
you turn the ball over. That's how you lose football games. And as much as he flashed, the turnovers kill you. Kill you.
Kill you. Well, you gave points away. And you gave them points. And you're not good enough. I don't know that any team is good enough to do it. You missed opportunities.
No team is good enough, Dave. No team is good enough.
Nope.
No team is good enough. Every single week you look at the ball over like that. Look at the Ravens. Look what happened with Lamar Jackson on Sunday against the Steelers. No team is good enough to turn the ball over at that rate and still have a chance to win the game.
It stinks.
Just can't do that.
It stinks.
But I mean, like to Rick's point, though, if you keep having to ask the question about whether or not Daniel Jones is your quarterback, eventually you're going to land on the answer.
You're right,
you know.
But I think that these next eight games are huge, and that's why, even though I agree with Rick on one hand where he says you can't send the message and keep playing Daniel Jones, I need to see what he is for eight games because I want to see as much as I can of him to know whether he's the answer or not. If I bench him for two games, now I'm basing my entire future on six games of Daniel Jones down the stretch of the season. I need more.
Yeah, but you've seen the same thing almost every single game.
I get it, but give me an opportunity to see him.
No,
get
no, but
better.
Hey,
they're not going to bench Daniel Jones this year. That's not going to happen. They're not going to bench him this year.
They probably won't. But I mean, maybe you do get something out of, okay, let's see what this offense looks like with a different quarterback. Like Colt.
I don't want to see what the offense looks like with Colt McCoy as your quarterback.
Well, he's a career backup.
I have no interest in that at all.
I don't think
it's going to look any better than it looks with Daniel Jones. In fact, I actually think it limits. I hear what you're saying.
If it looks that much worse, then you're like, "Oh, Daniel Jones must be." I mean, he's better.
Yeah,
than
but if
thought.
It look if it looks that much worse, what's the difference? I mean, you're still 1-7 through eight games, so I don't understand if it looks that much worse. Oh well, maybe Daniel Jones is really good. He's really good enough to be 1-7. I don't think you really get any answers that way. And I think from an athleticism standpoint, from a talent standpoint, Colt McCoy is an inferior quarterback to Daniel Jones. I think you have more versatility as Daniel Jones with Daniel Jones as your starting quarterback. You can threaten the defense in more ways with Daniel Jones as your starting quarterback. Like, I feel like if you went to Colt McCoy, you're going to limit what the other guys on that offensive side of the ball can do for you.
You're right, but maybe you don't turn the ball over as much.
Yeah, but I think you're getting answers right.
But if I can't move the ball, if I can't put together any drives, then that's going to be a problem. Last night, the Giants had four double-digit play drives. Like that's a step in the right direction in a big way for this.
And they ran the ball well yesterday too,
for
really
this offense.
Well. And I don't know if it's me, if you guys agree. Can I see more Wayne Gallman and less Alfred Morris, please?
Yeah, that Gallman was good.
I thought he ran really well.
Yeah, don't start talking about that with me, the Jets fan.
What?
Because I want to see LaMichael Pyron.
Why does it always come back to you?
Because you complain about the Jets. At least your team competes. Like, you're crying me a river. My team is awful.
We're 1-7. We lose game. We've lost the last three games by six combined points.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, don't try to compare my situation to your
situation. I didn't bring up the Jets.
No, but can I see Wayne Gallman? I got a 37-year-old running back getting more carries than the guy I want to see.
You have your own issues.
What are you complaining about?
I can complain about the Giants if I want to complain. They're 1-7.
Yeah, I think they're heading in the right direction, though.
I agree with you. I can't agree with that.
You're headed in the right direction, and I'm headed for another complete rebuild.
Yeah, but at least you know you're going to have your.
Well, you're headed in the right direction. You're going to get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. You're headed.
Yeah,
in
but
the
we
right
thought
direction.
The same thing with Sam Darnold. We ruined him.
Oh, here we go.
I'm with you. Well, at least this time you'll be able to pair your rookie quarterback with your first year head coach. At least for the first time, you'll be able to do it right in that regard. How about that?
Nice. You hope so.
Be a step in the right direction.
Would anything shock you, though? Really?
No.
Nothing would, right?
Nope.
Oh, boy. All right, let's get to a couple of the calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Steve in Eastchester. Steve, lead us off on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
What's going on, Steve?
Listen, hey, Canty, by the way, thanks for the Super Bowl, man.
My man.
I'm calling about Daniel Jones simply because I can't take the turnovers anymore. I mean, I understand he has so many flashes, but like you guys said, the amount of missed throws that he had last night, I was screaming at my TV. I mean, I'm a nutjob fan like Rothenberg. I just don't understand. When he has too much time, he just, you can see, he's thinking, he's not reacting, and he's moving around the pocket. He can't seem to just lift a fight another play, lift a fight another down, and it's frustrating. He's not learning from his mistakes, and I get it. It's his first year with Garrett, so there's going to be some learning, but it doesn't seem like he's taking any baby steps. And last night, if we had any, like a QB manager, like Alex Smith when he was with the Chiefs or someone like that, who just doesn't turn the ball over, I think we win that game and probably a couple other games this year. So I don't know if he's the guy. But this
yeah, you
game,
say that. Yeah, but time out. Time out. You say that, and part of me agrees with you, but the other part also says, does that kind of quarterback make that throw to Deion Lewis? Does that kind of quarterback, is he able to make that throw to Golden Tate?
Yeah,
those are
I
special
agree.
Throws that he makes. Beautiful throws.
I agree with you 100%, and he does show flashes. But the bad outweighs the good more times than not, and that's not going to win you football games.
Yeah, see, that's the question for me. Just because you can see, I mean, the last thing, and Canty and I always talk about this, the best games that you play, people are like, oh, you were in the zone. What did it feel like? How did you see the game? You don't even remember those games because you're not thinking. Mm-hmm. You make mistakes when you start to think, and you can clearly see that. I don't know if it's all the noise about turning the football over, because I know it's something that Jason Garrett is focused on with Daniel Jones, but you can clearly see he's thinking and he's hesitating. And it causes him to be late with throws or make mistakes.
Yeah, that two-point conversion. That two-point conversion, he didn't trust what he actually saw. Like, the play was designed a certain way, and he's got to get rid of that ball fast. But, it's almost like he did that double take just to make sure. And sometimes, as a player, you can get yourself into trouble with trying to be too fine with everything that you do. Sometimes you just got to go out there and let it rip. But you can tell that the turnovers, because they're starting to mount up, it's forcing him to second-guess himself. And like Rick said, you can't hesitate on a football field. You can't hesitate in professional sports. It'll cost you. And right now with Daniel Jones, because he's made so many mistakes and so many turnovers, and you have people talking about that, and that being a constant conversation around the team, when it comes to his decision-making process and being able to pull the trigger on certain plays, he's a little slow.
But
that two-point conversion right there, there's no reason for him to second guess or to kind of pump it before he threw it. There's no reason for it. You already got the play design where the bunch formation is going to pick the guy that's in coverage on Deion Lewis, and he's going straight to the flat. He's got to put that ball on him as soon as he catches it and grips the laces. I don't know, man. It's just one of those things that you worry about it getting into his head, and it's starting to become a psychological thing.
Yeah, it's a major problem. And is this an 8-game audition? I mean, if you go 2-14 and you have the second overall selection, it's going to be hard to.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is an 8-game audition.
Justin Fields.
Yeah, you're right, Dave. I don't know if you're in position to get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, I don't know how either New York franchise passes on either one of those quarterbacks coming out of college. Because if Daniel Jones continues to turn the ball over at this rate, there's a chance that you could have the second overall pick.
And let's remember, he's not Joe Judge's guy either.
No, like and he Judge won't be and him. He won't be the new general manager's guy either.
Right.
Because you're going to move off of Dave Gettleman.
100%.
It did feel like, though, listen, the Monday Night Booth is doing a great job. I thought Greasy was great. the fact that, why am I blanking on his name now?
Come on.
Brian Greasy?
No, not Greasy. Lewis. The fact that Riddick had the blue suit on with the red, white, and blue tie, and then after the game he was so complimentary of Daniel Jones. Like, I don't know, is someone else auditioning?
Loved
pretty,
him to get the job.
Pretty complimentary.
Loved him to get the job.
He should have got the job in the first place.
Yeah, he should have.
You need some fresh eyes.
Not but, how I mean, the Giants do business, though.
But, I mean, the moves that Dave Gettleman has made, I mean, Bradbury's been good. Martinez has been good. Mm-hmm. Leonard Williams has been better than I thought he'd ever be.
He's been good.
He's been really good.
He's been really good. Listen, the defense is night and day from last year.
Night and day.
They were terrible last year. They're good this year.
That's what's so frustrating about that game. Like, it, whatever you want to say about Tampa, they didn't play their best game. Was that because the Giants played so well? Was it they were looking ahead to the Saints? Whatever it was.
But that's not fair to the Giants.
No, but I'm saying, I don't care what it was. It doesn't matter. You had the chance to win. Like, your defensive coordinator called a great game. Your offensive coordinator called a great game. Your special teams were good. Your defense was flying around. Your offensive line, which we thought would struggle, was good. Like, everything outside of your quarterback turning the football over was good.
If the quarterback was average last night, the Giants win that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a shame. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on DCR, PRV, the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And big news from Dell Technologies. Black Friday is here with deals up to 50% off small business computers with Intel Core processors to give your business an edge. Call 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/sbblackfriday. All right, a lot of Giants calls. Mike Tenenbaum at 10 o'clock. You know you have a CMT today, right?
Oh, I'm already.
All right, he's ready.
How much would you
CMT.
Like to bet? Would you like to put a money wager on Mike Tenenbaum saying that Daniel Jones should be benched?
Well, no. He says that every week.
I was trying to catch it, yeah.
He says every week, accountability, and keeps, you know, turning the football over.
Man. He's going to say it again, you know.
Of course he's going to say it.
He's going to be all amped up on X2, all fired up, shot out of a cannon.
Of course he's going to say it again. I don't think they're going to bench him, and I do understand why. Because I need answers this year. And if you take away time, I mean, it's an audition the rest of the season. And if you're going to give him less time to audition, what sense does that make?
Well, I mean, it doesn't, unless the coaching staff is more sold on he's not the answer than you are.
Well, okay, like if they believe that he's not the answer, then do whatever you want. I agree with you.
No, I just think sometimes you can get answers. Now, is the offense going to be as good? I would imagine it's probably not going to be as good with Colt McCoy. So if that's the case, like, as bad as the Jets' offense is with Sam Darnold as the quarterback, when you see what the team looks like without Sam Darnold, you're like, well, I mean,
it's horrifying.
Yeah, Sam Darnold he's not working with much. He's pretty good. Like, I think the same thing in Dallas and even in Chicago. As bad as you think Mitch Trubisky is, the offense don't look a whole hell of a lot better with Nick Foles.
Yeah, but I mean, that just tells you that neither one of those guys is your answer. I don't know that we can make that comparison to the Giants situation because there ain't no Super Bowl MVP back behind Daniel Jones. It's Colt McCoy.
No, but I would like to see. I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't mind seeing what it looked like. Give the kid a game to kind of just watch from the sideline, get his head right, because it feels like this is just going to get worse. Like, this thing is rolling downhill, and he doesn't know how to stop it.
It might, and if it continues to, then maybe your choice is made for you.
It's clearly in his head. Like, you can. Yep. It's clearly
you can
something
he's thinking
about.
Way too much out there. You see it every single week.
Every week, and those are the times. The more time he has, the more mistakes he makes.
Yep, absolutely true. Did you hear the K Show 20 and 20 yesterday? By the way,
I did. Guys hear it? I listened to it. Yeah,
it was so easy.
So easy.
It was. I couldn't believe. Like, it was so easy. The Michael K Show's 20 and 20 contest continues today at 3 o'clock. The K Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and all you have to do is recognize their voice. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today it's National Sandwich Day, and the guys are giving away a Weber charcoal smoker. It's the 20 and 20 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. So I'm watching, I hear it, and I'm like, well, that sounds just like Bill Parcells, but it can't be Parcells because that's too easy. And then you have people calling in, and it's like, was that Jim Boeheim? Like, no, it wasn't Jim Boeheim. Finally, like, the third guy's like, was that Parcells? Of course it was Parcells. They're not just giving it away. They're giving it away. Like,
well, it wasn't even the guy. It was the guy's girl who called in.
Right.
She speaks for him.
As most do.
Oh, exactly right. But maybe they were thinking the same thing you were thinking. This is too easy. This can't be Bill Parcells.
Yeah, but I would have never thought it was Boeheim.
Nah, you try to get creative. You'll think yourself.
Behind have more of a want complain to it.
We're in the zone. Our zone didn't keep them to the outside.
Like, it was Parcells.
I can't say that I ever was in a situation where I just felt like the players just flat give it up.
It's so easy.
Yeah, that's Parcells. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
So they are giving away these.
People got to remember, too. We're trying to give things away. This is how Canty and I live our lives. This is not a contest. This is a giveaway.
That really is a giveaway.
We're trying to help you win things.
That's right. And the giveaway today, a Weber charcoal smoker.
I have a beautiful, gorgeous smoker in my garage that I have yet to use for some reason.
How long have you had it for?
Way too long. I don't want to tell you how long I've had it.
How long have you had it for? Over a year.
Years.
Years?
Yep.
And you've never used it?
Yeah, I prepped it and everything. I got the charcoal, I got the wood, and then for some reason I didn't do it. And because I haven't done it, it's gorgeous too. As a present from my in-laws,
they listen to the show nonstop, and your father-in-law probably hears that you've never used it. Now he's probably disappointed.
Yeah, he knows.
He knows.
Yeah, he knows. This is why I tell people don't buy me things like that because I all of a sudden I just get lazy and I forget about it. Give me stuff like give me a sweatshirt. Something that I'll use.
I don't understand the thought process there, though. Like, a smoker is a great gift for a guy that loves to barbecue.
Yes.
You should use that. I would agree with that.
I know I should use it, but it's not as easy. It's like not a gas grill where I just go out, I press a button, and the grill's on. Like, this is, it takes, you know, preparation. And then hours and hours of smoking.
Yeah, but you're home all day.
I know, it just seems like a lot.
I mean, you don't, you haven't left the house in 8 months.
We got a lot going on here, Dave. They got three kids.
Oh, you are too much.
A lot going on.
Let's go to the calls. Ryan in Westchester. Ryan, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. I just want to say great show. Thanks for having me on. Listen to you every day. Real quick, wanted to just defend DJ a little bit here. I'm not saying he wasn't necessarily responsible for the game last night, but was looking at some Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And if you want to say, like, this is the year to make your decision, Troy Aikman, after 2 years, 20 touchdowns, 36 interceptions.
Did they make the playoffs in year two? Did they make the playoffs in year two?
They went 1-15, 7-9, 11-5.
Did they make the playoffs in year two?
No.
Year three, I think it was. Was it third year in Troy Aikman?
Yeah, third year.
They made the playoffs in third year, Troy Aikman. Same thing for Brett Favre in his second season. They made the playoffs in that season.
Exactly. So I'm kind of thinking, like, give it some time.
But it's different. It was unheard of back in the day to move on from a young quarterback after a year or two or three. That happens now.
But it happens
now. What happened in Arizona? They moved on from Josh Rosen after a year. You think that would have happened 30 years ago?
Yeah, but listen to Chris. He just I named off one guy, and he named off another guy who are Hall of Famers.
No, they're Hall of Famers, but their team is actually winning games, though. That's the point. Their team is in position to win games and get to the postseason. Not to mention, when you start talking about throwing the ball around the yard, that was a lot tougher era to throw the football back in the 90s and the early 2000s than it is now, when we're seeing record scoring.
Right.
So, I think you're making a little bit of a false equivalence with that one, man.
I'm just saying it's one. He's half a year into a new system, where in which no camp, no nothing. You know, the guy. I think there are bigger holes that need to be filled. If Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields can get on the field and play all 22 positions,
then here's the thing though. The thinking, and Dave just mentioned this, and Candy said the same thing. The thinking behind how long you give a young quarterback to develop is completely changed. This is more microwave than slow cooker. Like, they need to know, and unfortunately, because Daniel Jones continues to lose football games, he now leaves himself open for the Giants to consider whether or not they take a quarterback. The way you avoid that is win.
Don't give your team a top three pick.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. Like, if you're winning football games, then you can afford to be patient with your quarterback, like Brett Favre and like Troy Aikman. Like you said, Troy Aikman, they made the playoffs in year three. Brett Favre, they made the playoffs in year two. Not to mention, Brett Favre was a Pro Bowl player in his first two full seasons as a starter.
If the Giants would have gone 7-9 this year, if they would have done what the Cowboys did in year two of Troy Aikman, no one would say a word. If the Giants went 7-9 this season, and you saw a steady improvement from Daniel Jones?
Oh, Daniel Jones is the guy. He's the guy going into 2021. There's no question about that. But because they're losing games at this higher rate, because the only division opponent that Daniel Jones has beaten to date is the Washington football team, yeah, it makes you question whether or not Daniel Jones is your quarterback. I don't feel like that's an unfair question. And then I just gave out the stats. Since the beginning of 2019, no quarterback, no player in the NFL has as many multi-turnover games as Daniel Jones. He's got three more than the next closest person. So that's the stuff that we're talking about. Like, at some point, you're realizing this team can't find a way to win close games. And, oh, by the way, our quarterback has a streak of turning the ball over in nine straight.
Every single game. And you know what? Last night, it actually cost them the game. There are games where he
Bruce
turns it over.
Bruce Arians said it, Dave. The coach from the opposing team that just beat you said the reason why the Giants lost that game was because the quarterback turning the ball over. That's not us. That's the coach that's going against the Giants. So why are people getting upset at us when we're pointing out the turnovers?
I think they're just frustrated because it's a
difficult
situation.
They can be frustrated, but don't be mad at us. You got to channel that frustration to where it belongs, which is at the quarterback and at the Giants, because the kid has got 36 turnovers in 21 games. That ain't us doing that.
It's almost two turnovers a game. It's unacceptable. All right, you mentioned Bruce Arians. Here he is after the game thinking Daniel Jones just kind of tries too hard.
You know, the young quarterback, he's still trying to do too much. And when you're in the grasp of those guys, it costs them basically the ballgame throwing those two picks. But God bless him. He is hard to handle, and he's a kid that thinks he can make a play.
Yeah, but, I mean, you just had the opposing coach tell you that the other quarterback lost the game.
But right? But he would know, too. I mean, he's seen it firsthand with Jameis Winston. I mean, that's the difference. I mean, those turnovers were the difference in last night's game. And at a certain point, you are who you are. This wasn't something that all of a sudden, I mean, him turning the football isn't
He didn't have a bad
new.
Game. It's every single game.
But it wasn't like he came like, I don't know where the hell this came from. He never turned the football over at Duke. No, this is something he struggled with at Duke, too.
Yep. Under an NFL caliber play caller and a professional level coach.
So it's been a continuation of what you've already seen.
It's not gone away, and you saw it last night, and it cost them the game last night. They lost the game because of Daniel Jones, and you can't convince me otherwise. Dominic in Brooklyn. Dominic, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. I'm going the opposite direction than your other caller. I mean, he had to go back 30 years to find a comp. I don't understand is, what more do you guys need to see? His statistical profile, he's having a worse year this year by far. He's thrown 7 touchdown passes in 8 games. He was drafted by Dave Gettleman. What I don't understand is you guys saying, well, we need to get these last 8 games. Do you need these last 8 games because it just would be so devastating for the franchise to have drafted him 6? We knew he was overdrafted. I don't even understand.
But, Dominic, you don't watch him and think that there is real potential there?
What, you guys keep saying that. He misses open passes all over the field.
He also makes some great throws, sensational throws.
A pro football quarterback is not supposed to hit a couple of good passes? Like, I mean, how low is this bar? I just don't get what more do you need to see? So he flashes a good – I'll find you 32 quarterbacks who make a great pass.
No, you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't. Come on, it's ridiculous. No, you will not.
You're seeing passes by Daniel Jones that you're saying no other quarterback can make? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying – he makes elite throws. Let me
ask you a question. Who do you want to replace Daniel Jones with?
Well, that's a fair argument, but I think what you're doing is you're hurting your team right now. He's costing
Okay, you're hurting your team, but who are you going to replace him with?
What do you have? You have a backup? I'd rather see.
You want to go with Colt McCoy? You think that the team has a better chance to win with Colt McCoy as the starting quarterback over the next 8 games than Daniel Jones?
Yeah, you're not going to win anymore. That's over with.
Okay, so if you're not going to win, I'm going to let you talk. Hold on. I'm going to let you talk. Listen to what I'm saying right now. If you're not going to win any more games, what's the harm in letting Daniel Jones play the last 8 to see if the kid can stop turning the ball over? You did invest the 6th overall pick in him 2 years ago.
Only rationale for letting him go out there for more 8 games because of what you invested all that draft capital in. I agree with you there. And the argument for allowing him, let me just make one quick point. The argument for benching him and putting some kind of quarterback, maybe you shouldn't have had Colt McCoy, is to see you have other players out there, Chris. You want to develop other players out there on the field, right? You want to see what you have. You want to give your coach a chance to win some games.
I am agreeing with you on that. I agree that you want to develop the other players out there, but it's going to be hard to develop your receiving core when you don't have a quarterback that can push the ball downfield.
Yeah.
Colt McCoy, you ain't relying on Colt McCoy to throw 30 and 40-yard bombs to Slayton and Shepard and Evan Ingram?
No. It's not an option. He's not an option.
So what are we talking about?
I don't understand. You need to see this kid play for the next 8 games, and then you'll need to decide. And he's talented. I don't think anybody would deny that he's a talented quarterback. But the question is...
But Dave, I mean, you name the quarterback, maybe outside of Ben DiNucci. I mean, that was a starting quarterback in the NFL. Everyone has talent. Now, is everyone able to make some of the elite throws that Daniel Jones makes? No. But, I mean... At a certain point, I mean, turning the football over multiple times a game, that's not a franchise quarterback.
No.
That's a backup quarterback.
I'm agreeing with you on that one, Rico, which is why I'm saying just let him play out the string the last 8 games of this season. And if he doesn't fix it, then you're going to move in another direction at the quarterback position. I think this is going to be the referendum on Daniel Jones as the Giants starting quarterback this last 8 games. And if you can't get it done, then you move off him.
No, I agree with you. And you'll have the option if you keep losing games. He turns the football over, you're going to lose games anyway. And yeah. You'll have the option.
It'll
to take.
Happen. It'll happen.
No, but I think
naturally.
The other thing I get concerned about a little bit is at a certain point, I don't care how much you like a guy in that locker room, because you've been there, you start to resent that guy. Like the fact that this guy keep rolling him out and he keeps costing us football games.
Oh, yeah.
That's not,
it's
a, that's not a great dynamic either.
It's going to run you hot. And I was thinking that same thing when watching the game last night. Like after Deion Lewis has that return and then he has that interception that he throws, I think it was to Carlton Davis. And it was just like I couldn't imagine how you would feel on the defensive side of the ball. Like we just got a huge momentum boost coming out of halftime. And we've got a chance to really take control of this game because you're talking about a 14-6 game at that point.
You put you up a push touchdown.
You could put it to a two-possession lead.
With the way your defense was playing, I mean, I don't want to say lights out, but you're in dominating shape right there.
But, I mean, the same thing could be said for when he turns the ball over there up 17-15. Like, why are you turning the ball over? Why are you forcing the issue when we're playing with the lead? Like, at some point as a quarterback, you got to manage the game too. That can't all be left up to the coaching staff and the play callers. Like, you got to play within yourself. You got to know, okay, you know what? It's better for me to take this sack from Shaq Barrett than to try to force the issue and end up throwing an interception to Sean Murphy Bunting.
Yeah, but it's the same song every single week.
It's mind-numbing. Yeah. But those decisions were mind-numbing, though, Dave.
Yes. I know. It's awful.
Those are mind-numbing decisions.
Really, really difficult. All right. A $137 million Powerball jackpot win means you could buy the rarest luxury cars for yourself and your friends. They don't even have to like luxury cars. You could just have that many millions. Take a chance
terrible
on Powerball.
Advice.
Anything
terrible
can happen in Jersey. What do you mean terrible advice?
It's terrible advice.
Why?
Just going to buy luxury vehicles for people who don't even like to like cars. That's just awful advice.
Well, complete why is it waste. Awful advice?
Because buying a car is one of the worst.
If you bought someone a luxury car, they're going to be very
buying someone buying someone a luxury car is like trading 3 second round picks, drafting a quarterback third overall, and just in ruining it. Like that's the kind of investment you're making. The second you drive it off the lot, it's worth half of what you paid for it.
It's
just
a,
like
it's
Sam Donald is now worth
idea.
A
very
third
generous.
of what you paid for him.
If I won the lottery and bought you a luxury car, you would look down on me, or you would think, boy, what a nice guy.
No, I would sell it.
Yeah,
no, you
immediately.
Would not.
Immediately.
Well, because I got to pay insurance on it. No, I would sell it immediately.
I want the cash.
I want the cash immediately. And I wouldn't even drive it to sell it. I put it on a flatbed so I don't put any miles on it.
I don't think you can do that. I think if I buy you the car, you're obligated to keep it for a certain amount of time.
No.
Yes.
We had somebody. I got stuck, because I agreed to it, driving a stick shift manual Mustang convertible back and forth from Long Island to the city. You understand what kind of traffic that is. At one point, before I had realized that I need a Poland Spring bottle in the car to pee, I pulled on the side of the road just as you get over the bridge with a car that had my face on it. It said Hot and Humpty, and I'm peeing next to it. People were beeping at me as they drove by. Do you think the person kept that Mustang when they won it? Sold it immediately.
Real? You know this for a fact?
Yeah, sold it immediately.
Wow.
I don't blame them, too, because you got to pay insurance on it. You buy me... Well, I mean, let's be honest, though. If it's a special certain kind of car you buy, I'll probably
I buy
keep
you
it.
A Lamborghini. You're selling it.
Selling it. Lamborghini, I'm selling. Now, you want to buy me a Rolls-Royce truck? I'm probably keeping it. Rolls-Royce truck, I'm keeping.
Ferrari, I'd probably keep a Ferrari, too, Dave.
I would love to see you try to get into a Ferrari.
I'm going to try. I'll try. I'll try to make it work.
Give it his best effort.
I'll try to.
He'll do everything within his power.
I'll try to make it work, Dave. I'll try to make it work.
All right. Well,
if you buy me a Ferrari Roma, I'll try to make
it
work.
If I win the Powerball, $140 million, I'm going to buy you guys cars. And then you can do with them what you please. Now, DCR brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Proud to serve members of the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Our members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org.
Rico, if Larry Allen can drive a Ferrari, damn it, so can I. So can I. Don't take my dream from me, Rico. My dream.
I almost want to buy you a Ferrari just to see you try to get into it.
Do it.
Do it. Do it.
I don't think you'll do it.
Do it.
I don't think you'll do it. All right,
you know what? We could actually rent the Ferrari and try it, though. We could rent a Ferrari and try it.
The station That'd should be do funny. That. The station
I rented
should buy a, you a
I rented a fancy. I rented a fancy car for the guys in L.A. We had a couple days off in L.A., and I legitimately, 5 minutes into driving, almost crashed it and ruined it.
You had the insurance, though, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't even think I paid for
it. You didn't have insurance on it?
No. I was like, this is not going to be bad. We're just going to roll around for the rest of the day. No big deal. And I almost told
it. We got
that's the record you bought it, though, isn't it?
bring in Andy from Merrick. Now, you say you know every day what he's going to ask, Rick. What's on Tuesday for Andy?
Tuesday for Andy.
Yeah, what's on the menu?
Is Tuesday NBA questions?
Yeah, it is.
Good morning, DCR.
Good morning, Andy.
It is an NBA Tuesday. Let's get right to it. Mike T is waiting in the wings. I'm coming to you live from Philadelphia with four NBA draft questions. Okay. Starting with 2006 NBA draft. Philly used the 9th pick on Andre Iguodala. Can you tell me which college he was drafted from?
I think Arizona.
Correct. One for one. 2014, the Sixers used the number 3 pick on Joel Embiid. Can you tell me either man who was drafted ahead of Embiid?
Andrew Wiggins. Jabari Parker.
Bang and bang. Nice.
Bang!
The year 2000, the number one pick by the Sixers was straight out of Hofstra University. Can you tell me who it was?
Speedy Claxton.
The 5'11 point guard Speedy. And finally, 1996, Allen Iverson was the number one overall pick by the Sixers. What future Nick was taken number 2 by Toronto?
Marcus Camby.
Yep.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Canty Man comes up with the Camby Man. Nicely done. Fellas, let's be careful out there. And as always, stay healthy, boys.
Oh, terrific. And we know tomorrow, Andy from Merrick will ask us about hockey. So, Rick, get a good night's sleep. We bring him in every Tuesday at this very time, and that is Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, fellas.
Well, as always, we appreciate a couple minutes, and obviously the big conversation is going to be on the Giants game last night. I know we're going to ask you about Daniel Jones in the future and what you do and if you bench him or all that, but I just want to ask you, did you think that was pass interference on the two-point conversion? Because, you know the situation. In your mind, was that a bad call by the officials after dropping the flag?
You know, philosophically, I always want to decide by the players on the field, so I would say I thought it was really close, but I'm glad they picked it up. And because if Daniel Jones, and we'll get into him in a second, guys, but if Daniel Jones makes a better throw, we're not even having this discussion.
Mike, and I said this to start the show, and I know you've said it a couple different times, but at a certain point, I think Daniel Jones is putting Joe Judge in a tough spot, because now all of a sudden you keep rolling out there, he keeps turning the football over, you start jeopardizing Joe Judge's credibility, no?
100%. And we've talked about this for several weeks, and I'm really encouraged by Joe Judge. I thought they played really well last night, and it's clear they may have hit on a head coach. And I think it's time now where if Daniel Jones doesn't stop turning the ball over, I don't know how you can keep him out there, because exactly for what you just said, Rick, which is this is really going to start impacting what the players think of Coach Judge.
Yeah, Mike, as you say that, you're talking about looking to the future when making the decision about the quarterback position. You're not talking about benching him right now, are you?
I would consider it, Chris, just because, again, as a foreign player, you know, if he's up there talking about accountability, penalties, and turnovers, and you're letting your quarterback get away with something, I think it hurts him. I would strongly consider playing Colt McCoy short-term, and we could get into it. I would draft Justin Fields long-term. I think Justin Fields is going to be the better quarterback over the next 10 years.
All right,
Mike, I would agree with the latter point in drafting Justin Fields if you have the opportunity to do so, but if I'm a guy in that locker room, I can't look at our quarterback situation and have any confidence that Colt McCoy is a better option to win games than Daniel Jones.
But Chris, what body of work do you have that Daniel Jones is going to win games for you, where he makes such a great throw on that late touchdown? I mean, that's an elite pass. But
yes,
on a two-point play, he has to throw the ball to the pylon. Like, the coaching point on that is you throw it to the pylon, you let the receiver get there, and if he does that, we're not having this conversation about turnovers, we're not having this conversation about PI or not, and at some point, your performance should determine whether or not you play, not where you were drafted.
Okay, so you believe that Colt McCoy gives them a better chance to win games moving forward than Daniel Jones?
I think sitting Daniel Jones becomes a force multiplier, because what it does, and we've seen this in New England for 2 decades, when you look to your left and to your right, and everyone is held accountable from Lawyer Malloy to Richard Seymour, on and on and on, you're going to get everyone's best effort. So maybe Daniel Jones still is a better player than McCoy, but what it does is, culturally, it makes everybody more accountable, including Andrew Thomas, their left tackle.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So you say you'd play McCoy, you'd draft Fields. Are you done, Mike? Are you done with Daniel Jones?
Yeah, and I, you know, look, and I've been criticized, and I would say somewhat fairly, for being too patient in the past. But look, I've learned from what the Arizona Cardinals did, right? They drafted Steve Wilks, was their head coach. They drafted Josh Rosen, top 10 picks. It's Wilks and Rosen for the next 10 years, and that lasted about 10 minutes. And there's four quarterbacks that I think we should have an interesting discussion about. Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, and Dwayne Haskins. Those four young quarterbacks were already drafted by a different head coach. I think that changes the paradigm. I think that changes how they're measured, and I think ultimately it changes their job security. So I'm not saying it's necessarily over. I don't want to overreact, but what I am saying is that Joe Judge is sitting there with a different lens than it would have been if he had drafted him.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. So, Mike, in saying all that, why do teams consistently, you know, make the decision to do that? Like, why, if you're not sold on your head coach, you know, why put your organization in a situation where you draft the young quarterback and then, you know, a year later you're moving on from your head coach and you have a new head coach that didn't draft the quarterback? That'd make any sense.
Yeah, Rick, that's why continuity rules. Like, look at New England, look at Pittsburgh, the teams that have sustainability, look at Seattle. Those teams, it's the same head coach and front office for years, years, and years, and that gives you your best chance because teams are going to make mistakes, you're going to make bad picks, but you know, once you have your leadership locked in, it gives you a chance to survive that. And again, sometimes quarterbacks do take time to develop. But my point is, one, the things that they're asking Daniel Jones to do to get better, he's not getting better. And secondly, Joe Judge, from an evaluation standpoint, he might not even have liked them when he came out.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I want to try to focus on some of the positives that came out of last night's game. I thought the defense flew around, guys making plays. James Bradbury stepped up. Leonard Williams is putting together a fine season. He had a sack last night, created a lot of pressure on Tom Brady. What do you make of the job that Patrick Graham, their defensive coordinator, did last night and his overall body of work as the DC for the Giants?
Yeah, look, my arrow's up on them and really on the whole program from a standpoint – how they played, how competitive they were. I thought the offensive line got better. And I think what Patrick Graham did is what you have to do against Tom Brady is you have to change things up. You can't give him the same look. You have to make him uncomfortable to the extent that you can. And I thought they hung in there. They made enough plays. They weren't perfect, but, you know, it's hard to be perfect against Tom Brady. So Patrick Graham is a young coach, and I think he's done a good job so far.
So trade deadline is today, Mike. If you're the Giants, what are you doing? Are you moving on from Zeitler? Are you moving on from Tate? I'd ask if you're moving on from Engram as well, but it sounds like they're going to absolutely stay with him for at least another season. So what would you do? If you're GM of the Giants, what moves would you make today?
Yeah, I would consider Zeitler because I think he's an aging, declining, expensive player that you're paying for past performance. I'd put a lot of resources into getting Engram better. And possibly Tate, I would move on, but I wouldn't just give them away indiscriminately, guys. And, you know, when I look at Slayton and Stripper, I don't think the cupboard's empty by any stretch. So, you know, Tate, because of age, I would consider it, but I would certainly hold on to Ingram.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, I don't know if it was the Giants just had a great game plan and executed it last night. If Tampa was looking ahead to, you know, the Saints, they didn't have Chris Godwin. Are you still looking at this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team as the best team in the NFC?
I am. I think they're only going to get better because Antonio Brown, I think they become almost indefensible when you get into the red zone. When they go 11 personnel, which is three wide receivers, and Chris Godwin comes back and you have him, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, and Rob Gronkowski. I just don't know how you defend that. You have to play zone. And when you play zone against Tom Brady, he's going to find the open man. So, look, Seattle's playing exceptionally well. Green Bay has its issues. But, you know, New Orleans in that conversation. But for one game, I'm going to take Tampa Bay.
Mike, our very own Chris Mortensen is reporting that the league could go to a 16-team playoff tournament if there are regular season games that are canceled due to the coronavirus. Now, I know this is a hypothetical, this is an if-then-when situation, but what are your thoughts on expanding an already expanded playoff field if we're not able to get in some regular season games?
Yeah, ordinarily, Chris, I would be against it, but look, everything this year is so weird and unusual, and you try and get into like a fairness situation, and if you can, that's just one of those things where it seems like I think baseball by and large got it right, where they had the expanded playoffs and it worked. So I don't think it's ideal, Chris, by any stretch. I'm a little bit more of a traditionalist, but that's why 16 regular season games are so meaningful in pro football. But in this situation, I can understand why the league would decide to do that.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. We've avoided the Jets, but let's get into the Jets here. look, talent-wise, they're just not that talented. We know they can't compete with the big boys in the NFL, but it looks like the effort might not be there, and we're halfway through the season. Do you see that, Mike? I mean, Kansas City could have done anything they wanted on Sunday against this team.
Yeah, I was disappointed. You know, like when you compare the Jets to the Giants, it was clear the Giants were, you know, in some ways, you know, overmatched as well, especially when you talk about how good that Tampa Bay defensive line is. I thought they played with effort and tempo. I think the Jets and Spurts have played competitive football. I thought the first half against Buffalo in particular was encouraging. But, yeah, I thought they would have to have done something out of the box, Dave, you know, maybe go to, like, you know, a three tight end set or something to control the line of scrimmage against Kansas City. And it was disappointing.
Mike Tenenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, a lot of questions now. I mean, it was the game of the week, and if it wasn't for Lamar Jackson turning the football over, Baltimore probably ends up winning that football game. But, I mean, does Baltimore have a problem moving forward? I mean, do they need a number one wide receiver? Like, what's wrong with Baltimore when they play good teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, I just don't know about Lamar Jackson yet. He's a guy that right now is 31st in the NFL in terms of pressure rate, meaning times that he's hit, pressured, or sacked. And what teams are going to do is they're going to rip his heart out with what he does poorly until he can fix it. And that's something that, look, they drafted Marquise Brown out of Oklahoma in the first round, which I thought that was a great pick. And they're going to have to get him involved, because until they do that, he's going to see every blitz known to mankind.
Mike, how do you explain what happened to the Titans in Cincinnati? I mean, losing to Joe Burrow, a rookie quarterback, when you're one of the teams that people are considering a contender in the AFC. Help me understand that one.
Yeah, I was shocked with all the games. I thought Joe Burrow outplayed Ryan Tannehill this week, and you know, I think Burrow's arrow is up, and I think they hit big on that. That was, to me, maybe the biggest upset of the week.
How do the Chargers keep losing these games? I mean, they have comfortable leads. They're blowing teams out, 17 points, beating up on Denver. Denver's not very good, and in the end of the day, they just fall apart. I mean, how does this keep happening to this team?
You know, Dave, I think long and hard about it. I think it's me. You know, I'm friends with Coach Quinn, who's in Atlanta. I'm friends with Coach Lynn, who's in L.A. You know, we've all worked together before, so I don't know what it is. I mean, Anthony Lynn's a great coach. I think he understands, you know, clock management, the basics of the game. And I don't know, you know, they had a big lead. You know, I think sometimes, like, one of the things saying back the last 2 years watching these games, guys, is you really do have to, like, keep scoring points. And I know that sounds so basic and fundamental, guys, but what my point is, like, what got you that 3-score lead, like, keep that mindset. Because I used to be a little bit more of pass to score and run to win. And obviously we had a lot of success in New York with, you know, Rex and ground and pound. But just the way the rules are different now, like, teams can come back way too quickly, and you know, we're just seeing that more and more. So I think the mindset that you have to have from a clock management standpoint is, unless it's way out of reach, keep scoring, keep going empty, keep going no huddle, even with a 2 or 3-score lead. And look, with Justin Herbert, they're scoring a lot of points.
Mike Tenenbaum joins us here on the show. Potentially my last question, Mike. Were you surprised? Were you surprised to hear Bill Belichick say what he said? To admit that they were all in, and now, yeah, you know, because of salary cap and everything else, they're paying the price?
It's interesting, Rick. You know, I was just asked that on Get Up with Greeny. Look, I had the good fortune of working for Coach Belichick twice, and I would tell you that what we saw was, you know, transparency, frustration. You know, they were 12 yards away from being Buffalo with no Gilmore and no Edelman. And I think you got a little authenticity there. You know, somebody that is the ultimate competitor, you know, maybe the greatest coach ever in the history of our sport, who was just incredibly frustrated and transparent.
Mike, I know we got a lot of football left, so I guess anything is possible, but just, you know, trusting your eyes, are the Miami Dolphins in this thing to compete for the AFC East?
I'll tell you what, you look at their defense, we've talked about it before, they're playing really well. They got two corners in Xavier Howard and Byron Jones that can play man-to-man, so they can bring pressure. And, you know, when you watch them play, it certainly implies what Coach Flores wants to do. So I think their defense probably doesn't get the credit they deserve. And, you know, we'll see, obviously, how their young quarterback develops. But defensively, it's certainly going to carry them a long way.
What happened to Green Bay this weekend? I mean, they're rolling along. Their offense looks terrific. We know that their running back is out, but, I mean, just stunned that they got beat up at home by Dalvin Cook in Minnesota. They got run out of the building in that game.
Yeah, their defense is really struggling. When you look at their front seven, like their linebackers are just below average right now. And, you know, talked about looking at guys like Quan Alexander who gets traded and, you know, some of these recent trades that were made on the defensive side of the ball. Look, Preston Smith's a great player as a Darius Smith, but their front seven just hasn't played as well. And I was surprised how poorly they played.
All right, I lied, Mike. I do have one more question. I apologize. You mean you're so good today? I can feel the energy. All the X2 just running through your body. I don't want to beat a dead horse about Adam Gase and everything else, but I want to ask you in your own opinion, with what the Jets have on this team, which isn't much, would you, if you were picking the next head coach, would you go with someone like Eric Bieniemy, who hasn't been a head coach, or do you think the Jets would be better served having their new head coach being someone that's had past experience?
Yeah, you know, philosophically, I like to talk about people who's, you know, there's not a job open there, but generally speaking, I would tell you Eric Bieniemy should be in every discussion. But okay. I would also put Todd Bowles in that discussion based on how well that Tampa Bay defense is doing. So I would, you know, and I know he's been with New York, but I think Bieniemy and Bowles should be at the top of any list.
Mr. T, last question for me. I mean, with the high ankle sprain that's supposed to keep him out the next 6 weeks, have we seen the end of Jimmy Garoppolo in a 49ers uniform?
I don't think so. He just took a team to a Super Bowl.
So, okay.
I think he has a little bit more time left, but you know, the window is certainly closing.
All right, Mike. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you sound energized. You sound effervescent. Why would that be? Tell me why.
Well, thanks, Dave. It's I do take X2 All Natural Energy, which I appreciate Rick mentioning, and it's an all natural energy drink that you can get at x2performance.com, so I appreciate you asking.
Absolutely. All right, stay hydrated, please. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
As always, guys, great to be with you.
That, of course, is the terrific Mike Tenenbaum giving us the analysis around the NFL. And, guys, he thinks the Giants should move on from Daniel Jones. You could hear it. That's what that was the underlying theme of that conversation there.
Yeah, because we've seen it. The problem is that we've seen it work. I mean, that's why I think everyone is – I mean, you heard Shefty's report that the reason they put two in when they put two in because they have the Texans' first-round pick.
Right. They want to know whether they have the quarterback or not.
Exactly right. So, I mean, you saw it work in Arizona where 1 year Josh Rosen – they get rid of him, bring in Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. And
Washington's already decided. They're done, right? They're in the market for a new quarterback.
They're looking to trade Haskins now.
They can't get anything for him.
It's fundamentally a ridiculous idea to draft the quarterback if you have questions about your head coach. It makes no sense. None. Because, like, listen, Mike's right. I mean, Joe Judge might not even like Daniel Jones. And this is only...
not his guy.
It's not his guy, and then on top of it now, I mean, just it's every, I mean, Daniel Jones has at least one turnover in 20 of his 21 appearances. That's too many, Dave.
It's hard to do.
It's not good, but I understand where you guys are coming from. If things continue to trend in the direction that they're going, then yeah, you're going to move off of Daniel Jones after the season, or at least find another quarterback that can come in and be serious competition, and it could be somebody that will be your future franchise guy. I just don't see the upside to benching him right now and letting Colt McCoy play the remainder of the games.
Oh, I agree with you on that.
I just that's the part of it that just doesn't make sense to me. And I know how you feel about it, Rick. And I heard what Mike Tannenbaum said. I have a hard time coming to grips with that, just because I don't think Colt McCoy gives you a better chance to win games. And ultimately, that's the part of the messaging that you're concerned with in terms of the credibility from your head coach to his players in the locker room.
Yeah, but I think that would all be dependent on what Joe Judge really thinks behind closed doors, what him and Jason Garrett think about Daniel Jones. And do they feel like they're doing damage to what they're building here by keep... because I don't disagree with that. I think that Daniel Jones, talent-wise, brings much more to the table than Colt McCoy. But, you know, do you think maybe long-term that if we don't... you know, if we go a couple more games and we have these same issues, like, is now long-term this going to affect how guys in that locker room look at me and what I'm trying to sell them?
I would say that the losing probably has more to do with that than anything else. But I feel like the Giants with Daniel Jones have a chance to get some wins in the remaining eight games. Like, they got a game coming up this week against Washington I think they have a legitimate chance of winning that game. The game against Philadelphia, they were right there on Thursday night at the link. It could be different at home. Like, I just – there's some Cincinnati on the road after the bye week. Like, there are opportunities for them to be competitive and to be in games. So let's see what happens in those games with Daniel Jones as the quarterback, because I just feel like he gives you the best chance to win games right now.
Yeah, you can say that, but right now he's the reason that you're losing these games. So, yeah, I mean, at some point that has to change. Because, I mean, it's not just the losses. A lot of it, too, is how you lose and how that loss is ingested by the guys in that locker room.
Oh, yeah, you ain't got to tell me that. But what I'm saying is those guys in the locker room also go to practice every single day, and they see Daniel Jones and they see Colt McCoy. And to a man, they all know, yeah, this Daniel Jones dude, that's a better option than Colt McCoy. I was on a team when we tried to march out, for God's sakes, we tried to march out Brooks Bollinger.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Giant Stadium. That didn't go so well. Like, we knew. Like, we didn't have a chance with that guy as our quarterback. So I'm just saying that whole benching him right now, I just feel like that would be premature.
All right, guys. Today on ESPN Daily, Doc Rivers takes us behind the scenes to tell the story of how and why athletes turn their attention to voting in 2020 on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Rick, are you ready?
Oh, you know I'm ready.
I mean, this is your time to shine.
This is my stump.
This is your time. Your football team's 0-8. The Giants are 1-7.
It's such.
I mean, I'm stating fact. You went 1-2 in your picks this week.
I got Todd Bowles coming back.
I mean, what was that? Could you imagine if the Jets brought Todd Bowles back to coach this team?
No, I can't.
I would go Bieniemy or Todd Bowles. Wait, what? Tonight, 7 o'clock, ESPN, College Football Playoff Top 25 presented by Chick-fil-A. 8 o'clock, the 2020 Rawlings Gold Glove Award Show. Rick, did you see that DeGrom is a finalist for the Cy Young Award yet again?
Yet again.
Now, he's not going to win it this year.
No.
But just to be a finalist is pretty amazing.
I mean, he's amazing. I take him
most consistent pitcher in baseball.
Yep, agreed.
And DJ LeMahieu, Chris, for your side of things, was one of three finalists for the AL MVP this year.
Well deserved, Dave. Yeah, I mean, can you make an argument against it?
I don't think he'll win it, but no. Being
no,
a
I'm not saying. I'm not saying
not.
No. I'm not saying that he'll win it. What I'm saying is him being up for the award.
No, he's great.
That's what I'm saying.
Like 365 this year?
Yeah, he's unbelievable, man.
He really
DJ
is.
LeMahieu is a machine.
He's sensational. Yeah, we'll see if the Yankees break the bank to keep him. Now, you received a call moments ago, I'm told?
Yeah, speaking of machines, Jonathan Lease from Marlboro, New Jersey, actually works at the Ferrari dealership of Central New Jersey in Edison, and put it out there because he's a fan of the show that he wants me to come by and see if I can fit in a Ferrari. So we have to make a thing of that as a show. Yeah, see if I can actually fit in one.
That's great. Now, I wonder how long you could borrow it for. Like, if you did fit in it, could you have it for the weekend?
That would be nice. That would be nice.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
See?
They got to show us some, love, man. Show us a little bit of love.
How great would that be?
That would be nice to have some a Ferrari to roll around in for the weekend.
Oh, yeah, I can't imagine. See, I can't imagine myself fitting in a Rolls Royce. There's no way I would fit in a Rolls Royce.
I challenge any dealer to take me up on that.
There's no way I get in a Wraith. There's no chance I get in one of those.
Oh, man.
I'd love to see you get into a Rolls Royce. I'd feel good for
you. I would, honestly.
You'd be so happy.
I would be so happy. But I would drive out to New Jersey just to watch Candy try to wedge himself into a Ferrari. I would love it.
I'm going to make it happen, Rick. I'm going to get in the Ferrari.
What happens if you can't get out?
There's no way I would give you the satisfaction of saying that I don't fit into a Ferrari.
I've seen this movie. I'm going to get in that dress. I'm telling you, I'm going to get into this dress.
They're going to have to chop him out of that thing. Hack him out of that thing. All right, on National
Rick, I'm telling you, man,
day.
Larry Allen got in a Ferrari. If Larry Allen can do it, I can do it too.
The thing he's not telling you is he's never been heard from since he got into the Ferrari.
He's still in it.
Nobody's ever seen Larry Allen since that moment. Uncle Lou tweets in on National Sandwich Day. Best sandwich, CMT. Philly cheesesteak, Italian combo, or Cuban sandwich?
They will take the Philly cheesesteak with the steak on the side.
I wouldn't eat the Philly cheesesteak. I don't enjoy them.
You don't like a Philly cheesesteak?
Nah, because I don't like Philadelphia.
Just the cheesesteak. Forget
the
Philadelphia.
I mean, that's what they love. They eat that at the vet. I don't want any part of it.
But here's the thing, though, Rico. I don't like the cheese whiz, though. I like I need real provolone, onions, the mushrooms. Like, that's how I have
Give
to
me
have
the Italian
it.
Combo. Oh, delicious. Give me the Italian combo. We'll back 8:55. More of this hijinks, laughter. Be safe and vote.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.